is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and with me tonight, as always, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And we also have with us Frank Briscoe, who's been preaching longer than I've been alive. And so we rely heavily on Frank for advice and verses along the way. He preaches for the Santo Church of Christ, and we are delighted to have you in our listening audience this evening. Last week, we began talking about our relationship to God. And this relationship that we have with God really begins by understanding what is said in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. So if you have your Bibles handy, open it up to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, beginning verse 1, where it says, "And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because in it he rested from all his works which God had created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth, when they were created in the day that Jehovah God made earth and heaven. And no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up. For Jehovah God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Beloved, these verses right here in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, they teach the truth concerning God's relationship to man and God's relationship to the universe, and therefore our relationship to God. It's interesting that this is not only stated in the Old Testament, but similarly in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 it says, "And without faith it is impossible to be pleasing to him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him." And so the question that we have is, we're to believe that he is what? What's the context? Well, if you back up to verse 3 in chapter 11, it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear." We must believe, David, that God is the Creator.
Amen.
You know, and David, last week, we spent a great deal of time talking about evolution and show the how it was false and how it could not be true.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to rehash all that, but what we're going to do today is that we're going to show evolution to be false by showing creation to be true. And we're going to start with that right after David gives us some information that are important to us.
Well, tonight we are going to be broadcasting from KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, Texas, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford Canyon and Amarillo, Texas, KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, Texas, KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, Texas, KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview, Texas, and also KOME out of Glen Rose, Texas. Excuse me, it's a brand new station. Also, you can listen to us on the gospelradionetwork.org. The easy way to find that is go to the harrisonmoore.org. If you're on your computer, just go to Google, type in harrisonmoore.org, and it will take you to our website. Click onto the microphone, and you'll be listening live there. And there you will also find a chat box. And you can communicate with us through this chat box, and we would highly encourage you to do that if you're able to do that. And you might know also that this program is going to be rebroadcast tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on this very same website. We are also broadcasting tonight on Periscope. Go to Harris and Moore on Periscope, and you can get us there. If you want to listen to us on your smartphone, just go to Google, put in harrisonmoore.org, and your Google phone will, or your iPhone or whatever kind of smartphone you have, will pick up on it. Now, our motto has always been on this program: you have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. This is a live call-in program. The number to call if you have a question or a comment, and we would encourage your comments and your questions, the number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE. Just spell it out, 855-QA-BIBLE. Q as in questions, A as in answers, B-I-B-L-E, and we'll pick up the tab, and it doesn't make any difference where. And, Tom, we've been having some people from Australia listening in, and also New Zealand as well. Mm-hmm. And we want to encourage those folks, if you're up, I don't know what time it is over there, but if you're awake, give us a call. We would love to hear from you from all the way overseas, and we will pick up the tab. Also, you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, and we may not be able to get to those tonight, most likely not, but that will go to my email inbox and also to Tom's, and we will get together and we'll give you an answer to your question. The chat room is going to be open throughout the duration of this program, and all you got to do is just sign in, and you're good to go. But we would love to have you call in as much as anything.
You know, David, talking about that, and we're getting a lot of listeners from various places, and we really appreciate you listening in. And what we would kind of like for you to do, if you don't mind, give us some kind of email or chat or something to let us know that you're listening. We know we've got a lot of people out there who are listening and we're not aware of. But we're aware of a lot of people, and we're really thankful that they're listening in. And we hope that the things we say will encourage you in the truth.
Amen. Tonight, Tom, you mentioned in the introduction there about our relationship with God, and last week you also mentioned that, you know, we spend a lot of time. As a matter of fact, we used up an awful lot of time giving the falsehood of evolution. Now, what we would like to encourage you to do, for those of you who are listening, we had some people that were believers in evolution that got on the chat box, and what we would like to ask you to do is, just with an open mind, would you listen to the other side of this argument? One of the things that we're dealing with here, Tom, and this is one of the what I think is one of the great problems in our society today, is that now we have 3, 4, 5 generations of kids that have grown up and they have been taught nothing more than the theory of evolution as a fact. Mm-hmm. They have never been exposed to the other side. They don't even know that there is another side. So be patient with us and allow us to give you the evidence of creation. And that's what we're going to do tonight, give you the evidence of creation.
You know, David, we're also going to talk about, if we probably won't get to it tonight, but we're also going to talk about the inspiration of the Bible. The Bible itself says that God created all things. We looked at a passage in Genesis. We looked at a passage in Hebrews. In the book, in the Gospel account of John, it says in chapter 1, beginning verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Now notice, "All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men." So here we have another example, David, of creation and God being involved in creation. And so what are we going to, you know, really base comes down to this, David. Are we going to believe what the Bible says, or are we going to believe what our atheistic scientists believe?
Well, and here is the big problem that I don't think a lot of people have logically taken to its conclusion. If you disbelieve what was written by the Holy Spirit that you just read in John and Hebrews and in Genesis, if you disbelieve that, then you cannot be pleasing to God. You cannot be in fellowship with God. You cannot have the proper relationship with God. And that's what this lesson is all about. It's about the truth. And God's Word is truth. John chapter 17, verse 17.
Exactly. And you know, we talked about last week also, David, briefly, about how truth is involved really in every aspect of life. In building, in mathematics, truth is vital. And truth is vital when it comes to the world, how it got here, how man got here. And we're going to be looking tonight at the truth. Now, there is truth. You know, we talked about last week about truth being the key to happiness. Well, then there is the truth, an alternative to evolution, and that is God, creation, intelligence, and design. When we look at the truth of those aspects, we're going to understand without any shadow of a doubt that God created all things.
Well, now, Tom, you mentioned design there. Design. And this may be a little bit foreign to a lot of people's thinking, but would you mind explaining to us how design can possibly be an alternative to evolution?
You know, we know that every design must have a designer. That's something very logical. We may not always think about it, but you look at a wristwatch. Somebody designed the wristwatch. Somebody built the wristwatch. It just didn't come into existence out of nowhere. We've got buildings. You look at the buildings, the one we're in today. You look at the bridges. Somebody had to design that. It just didn't happen by accident, and everybody understands that. But, David, when you look around in our world today, and you look at the magnificent designs that are therein, and we're going to talk about a few of these today, the magnificent designs, how can anyone believe that all these things came into existence by accident, and yet when they look at a wristwatch or something of that nature, and say, well, we know that just didn't happen by accident, and yet can look at the world, which is even more involved than a wristwatch, and say, oh, but that did come by accident. You know, we're not very logical, are we?
Well, so the admission of a design for the universe then ultimately raises the question of a designer.
Most definitely.
So evolutionists argue that this magnificent universe evolved out of a random process. But as you mentioned just a moment ago, what random process could produce the brain of a man or the system of a human eye? The evidence of design and designer is everywhere, as you mentioned. You got a watch. It has been designed, which means it has a designer. You got a house. It has been designed, which means there was a designer. You have an automobile. It was designed, means there was a designer. These things didn't happen, but they testify to the intelligence and the design of man.
You know, another way of looking at that, David, another way of stating that is what's known as cause and effect. Every effect must have an adequate cause. You know, David, if you were to look over there and all of a sudden you hear a gun blast, you hear a loud noise, and you see a child over there with a pop gun, you know that was not an adequate cause for the effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at the universe, we also have to realize that there has to be an adequate cause of the effect of the universe. It could not have just happened by accident. There had to be, well, in what you were saying, a designer, an adequate cause for this to take place.
Well, now, if we will admit that there was a design for things like a watch and a house and a car, that means that there got to be a designer. Mm-hmm. So then for someone to say that the human body, something far more complex than any of man's creation, is the product of blind chance rather than intelligent design, well, now that doesn't make any sense at all.
Exactly. You know, and anyone who would contemplate the eye of a housefly or the functioning of the human mind and then maintain that all this happened without a designer and that it happened just by sheer chance, well, David, such a person believes in miracles far more astonishing than anything the Bible ever mentioned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the amazing evidences of design is animal instincts, and it is called by science inherited memory. Animal instincts will baffle a lot of people, especially evolutionists, because geese have this animal instinct. You know, at certain times of the year, they fly north, and at other times of the year, they fly south, and it is instinctive within them.
Mm-hmm.
The salmon is an amazing species that shows us the design and the instinct, the evidence of a design. They're born in fresh water. They swim out into the ocean, live their life out in the ocean, swim back up that very same river that they came from through instinct. They lay their eggs, they hatch, and the cycle begins all over again. And this is animal instinct. Mm-hmm. Even insects have this thing called instinct.
Exactly. And when we think about this, David, the animal kingdom is so amazing. You look at all of the various animals and the attributes that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that there had to be a designer. Who in the world would have thought that a giraffe, one of the strangest looking animals in the world, but they were designed for a special purpose of eating leaves from the tree. You look at other kinds of animals that God has created, and it is just amazing that these animals were created this way. And again, to think that they happened just by accident, that they evolved this way over millions of years, well, it is absurd. And as you mentioned, David, to me, the instinct of these geese and salmon are amazing. You know, not only did the geese fly north and south every year and know how to get there, the hummingbirds do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the geese flying in that V formation. How did all of these things happen? Did they learn it from the ancestor geese and back from them? How did they learn these things? There's only one possible explanation, and that's God instilled in these animals these instincts when he created them in the beginning of time.
Well, let me tell you about just one. Let's get specific about one, and then let's notice the amazing evidence of the design. One of these insects is called the North Pacific Coast Spider, and she makes a nest from a large seashell found in the vicinity of an overhanging branch of some low shrub, and she swings the shell by strong silken cables and lifts that shell 12 to 20 inches above the ground, and there she raises her family. But Tom, there's a terrible engineering problem here, because the spider weighs only a fraction of an ounce, and the shell may weigh up to a half a pound. And here's the complexity of the problem if these ratios are maintained. How would you raise 3,600 tons of concrete and steel 1,800 feet into the air? Now, a lot of people would think that that was impossible, but not if you had the scientific knowledge and the engineering technology. Somewhere, the spider learned a law of physics that a drying object will shrink and contract. And so this spider swings down, leaving behind a thread just as wet as she can make it, ties it to the shell, and waits for it to dry. And the contraction of the drying thread raises the shell a tiny bit from the ground. The spider swings down and puts a thread on the opposite side and allows it to dry. And working day and night without rest, she gradually raises the shell into the position selected. She then lines the shell with silk, spins a waterproof cover, cuts a tiny hole, and enters in and raises her brood. Now, Tom, she inherited this from her mother, who inherited it from her mother, who inherited it from her mother, who inherited it. Now, Tom, did the first spider sit down and figure this out?
Not at all. At the dawn of creation, God gave to all creatures certain wisdom called instincts. David, that is a very powerful evidence of the creation of God.
And the designer that created it.
Exactly right. Now, if we no longer believe God created man, but that man evolved from lower animals, then the only standards and morals are no higher than man himself or the government under which he lives. You know, David, this is called the moral argument.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get into that, let's remind our listeners that the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. The question that I have tonight, David, as we lead into this segment of our study, where did the morals of man come from? Especially since we come from, as the evolutionists say, apes.
Or animals.
Lower mammals. In the very beginning, some kind of mush. Where did this moral conception come from? If man does not believe in God, where did his moral prowess come from?
Well, as you mentioned just a moment ago, if we no longer believe that God created man, and this is the premise that we started with in Genesis chapter 2, we went over to Hebrews chapter 11, we went back to John chapter 1. If we do not believe what the Bible has to say about God creating man, but instead what our public school system teaches, that man evolved from lower animals, then the only standards, as you mentioned just a moment ago, the only standards, the only morals that we have are no higher than man himself or the government under which we live. Tom, just suppose for a moment that a government decided on a death penalty for people who were deemed to be a burden to society.
You know, that'd be kind of like the Nazi government, wouldn't it, that found 6 million Jews undesirable in World War II and exterminated them?
Exactly.
Why? How could anybody say that is wrong without some kind of moral standard? You know, we would shudder to think of something like that, but only because we know the truth, God's Word. Without God's Word, without belief in God, no one could say that that is immoral, because without the Bible, without God, my ideas of morality is just as valid as another man's idea of morality.
Exactly. And when we look at the historical context, and by the way, there has been on PBS for the last week, there has been the Nazi government on display there every night, and I've been watching some of this, and some of this has come to fruition here, that what we're talking about tonight. The Nazi government believed that only perfect specimens should survive, and they believed also, Tom, that retarded, deformed, and the elderly that could no longer care for themselves, they believed that these individuals should be exterminated because they were a burden on society. But now, Tom, very, very bluntly put, without God and the dignity of man created in the image of God, on what grounds could all of that be opposed?
It could not be opposed without God and God's moral values. Because one, again, as we mentioned, one man's thinking of what is moral is just as equal to one of another man's thoughts. Without a moral standard, no one can disagree with another man. You know, certainly not morally, because without God, there's no morality, is there?
No.
We cannot have morality without God. There can be no dignity of man without God. And the only thing is, you know, man is on a higher level than a cow and a horse and the evolutionary scale. But what does that prove with regard to morality?
Absolutely nothing, because without God, you have no standard.
If man is no different than animal, and I go out there and I shoot an armadillo, that would be no different than going out there and shooting a man, if there is no moral standard. And without God in the Bible, there is no moral standard. And David, when you look around in our world today, what are we seeing? People killing one another, people raping one another. And why not, if there's not a true moral standard?
Well, this is why human life is so cheap in godless countries. Because there is no God. There is no standard. There is no morality. There is no dignity of man without God. And if the taking of a human life cannot be logically condemned except as a government condemns it, well, Tom, what about lesser crimes?
Well, fraud, embezzlement, rape, all of those would be all right, right? If there's no moral code. What about adultery? Sexual perversion, like homosexuality? What about abortion? How can we condemn any of these things without God and His moral standard?
Well,
if we're no different than animals, it don't matter, does it?
Without God, can any act whatever, no matter how terrible that it might be, can any act whatever be condemned except as a majority decide the law?
You know, in Nazi Germany, what did their government decide? It was all right to genocide the Jews, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who could argue with that without going to God's moral standard? There's no argument there, is there?
No.
And so we got to realize that without God, as you mentioned, no matter where you are, it is the people who decide what is morally right or wrong. Now, think about this, David. If we do not have God and the Bible to back up what a government thinks is right or wrong, what's going to change in our society other than humanistic philosophy? That's what we have going on in our world today, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have, because of a lack of God and moral standard, we're having all of these babies killed through abortion. You know, that's a sad state of affairs. And is that not really behind the evolutionary thought? If man is no different than animals, what evil is there in killing an embryo or a baby? What evil is there in killing a man? What evil is there in stealing? What evil is there in rape? There is no evil in any of that without God and morality.
Well, we back up just a moment here. And without God, can any act whatever, no matter how terrible, be condemned except as a majority decide the law? You see, Tom, man made laws vary.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in our nation, those last three crimes that you mentioned just a moment ago, adultery, sexual perversion, and abortion, have already been repealed are suspended because of tastes and attitudes toward the truth have changed.
Exactly.
And that's all that has changed. You see, without God, there is no moral standard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we take that a step further, and you ask the next question, as a parent, without God, how do you teach your children?
How do you teach them what is right? How do you teach them what is wrong? How do you justify what is right? You know, David, when a parent is asked, what is the meaning of man's existence? If a parent must tell his child that life has no meaning, how can a parent tell his child not to take drugs? How can a parent, if there is no meaning to life, if life is no different among humans as they are among animals, how can they tell them not to commit suicide? You know, David, suicide is a number two killer of children. And why not? If there is no difference between a man and a cow, or a man and a dog, or a man and a housefly, and why not if there is no real purpose in life? You see, it makes a big difference, David, about our moral standard. And without God, the Bible, and its moral standard, then we are no different than just a cow or a dog.
Well, if man is no different than the cow and the dog and the housefly, and there is no purpose in life, then the logical conclusion to that is we came from nothing and we're going nowhere. And if there be no God, then just let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and then there is nothingness. And Tom, the idea of God and truth deserves a better substitute than this thing that is called evolution. As a matter of fact, it is easier to believe than it is to disbelieve.
And the truth is, there is no substitute.
No.
For God, the Bible, and God's account of creation. There is a God, a designer, a creator of all. The evidence is overwhelming and evidently very convincing, because 94% of the people in this nation believe in God. However, many do not have a real belief in the Bible as the full, complete, and exact revelation of God. And David, therein lies one of our biggest problems.
No doubt about it. Now, the number to call, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a comment or ask us a question, we would encourage it, highly encourage it. The number is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. It's a toll-free number. It doesn't make any difference where you call from. We'll pick up the tab, and we would love to have your comments or your questions. Now, getting back to this, 94% of the people believe in God, but they don't have a real belief in the Bible as the full, complete, and exact revelation of God. Well, that gets us back to where this all started, mm-hmm, in our relationship with God. In Genesis chapter 2, God is the creator. John chapter 1, God is the creator of all things. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, without the faith that God is the creator, it is impossible to please him. We cannot have the proper relationship with God unless we do believe this. So there's got to be something here that might cause people to understand the fallacy of what they have been taught all of their life in our school system. One of the greatest farces that has been pulled over on people in a civilized nation since this earth began was the theory of evolution.
You know, I've done some reading and research about this, David. The question was asked, why do so many people believe in evolution? Well, they're being told that all the smart people believe in evolution. Therefore, if you want to be considered among the smart people, you need to believe in evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so people just swallow that hook, line, and sinker. Now, David, I know of several scientists who don't believe in God despite of their science, but they believe in God because of their science. And so we've got to realize, David, that just because some scientists said it don't necessarily mean it's true. You know, we mentioned some of the fallacies, some of the lies last week, mm-hmm. like the Piltdown Man and various men like that. There were lies, the embryonic recapitulation hoax, that were pure lies. Some of the fossils that they're putting out there, like the one tooth of that one caveman was not even from a man, it was from a pig, mm-hmm. and yet they built this whole caveman out of this one thing. There are a lot of lies being told out there, and lies are being told so harshly, and really, David, all of it is because they don't want to believe in God. And if you don't want to believe in God, the only alternative to believing in God then is what? Believing in evolution.
Well, it's fascinating also to point this out as well, that even though these things have been disproven, we still have the pictures in our science books today. After they've been disproven 60, 70 years now down the road, we still have the science book with the pictures of the hunkered down man and the mm-hmm. Piltdown Man and the Nebraska Man. And you can just
the
go
embryonic
on.
Recapitulation theory, you still find it. You know, you've seen that picture of how an embryo is supposed to develop from the fish and the mammal and all this. That was shown to be false mm-hmm. in a court of law. And yet it still shows up in our textbooks.
Yes.
You know why? Because they have nothing else.
Right.
They have to rely upon a lie to make people believe. You remember what Adolf Hitler said? We looked at it a couple
yes.
weeks ago. If you can, I'm going to paraphrase. If you continually tell people a lie over and over again, they will eventually believe it.
And he said, the greater the lie, the more apt they are to believe it.
You can't get no greater lie
no,
than evolution.
No, you cannot. So what we have set out for the public tonight, and we would like to hear your comments on this, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We'll give it to you in just a moment again. What we have laid out is we have laid out the fallacy of evolution. We have laid out the truth of the Bible. And again, we want to keep going back to this truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, it is truth that frees us from error. It frees us from lies. It frees us from slavery. It is truth that enables us to do things in this world that nobody ever thought was possible. But as long as we stay with the truth, we can build skyscrapers. We can go to the moon. Mm-hmm. If we stay with the truth.
Let me ask you, David, which is easier to believe? Something came from nothing, or God created all things?
Well, the logical thing to believe is that there is a designer mm-hmm. for the design.
Mm-hmm.
And everything has a design, from man to the earth. And it's just like we read in Genesis chapter 2 in that summation that you read at the beginning of this program. God made it, and it was designed by God. So if there is a design, there's got to be a designer.
Exactly.
How can that be harder to believe than something sprung up from nothing?
Exactly. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a scientist to understand that logic. Every design must have a designer.
Mm-hmm.
Every effect must have an adequate cause. And the only adequate cause of our universe has to be God. There's no other explanation. And you know, the Bible verifies that, right?
Yes, it does. Yes,
and David, when we think about the Bible, one of the things that's important for us to do then is to show that the Bible is indeed God's Word. Now, if God's Word is indeed the Bible, does that not settle the matter?
It should. And we get back to the statistic that you brought about just a moment ago. 94% of all of the people in the United States of America actually believe in God. Where the problem is, they do not have a real belief in the Bible as the full, complete, and exact revelation of God. And herein lies the problem, and we're going to get to that problem. We're going to address that problem in just a moment. Caller, give us your name, your first name, and your question or your comment, please.
Buddy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, y'all was commenting about the design, the designer, and about evolution, what if, and what not. You know, there was a guy in the barbershop, this is another fixing I like to use a lot. There's a guy in the barbershop getting a haircut, and he pays the barber, tells him that's $12, and he gives him 20, and he says, keep your change. And he says, thank you. He says, no, God bless you. There's not no such thing as God. And he says, come outside. And it was raining and it was windy. And he said, how is it that there is rain and wind? That's from God. That's God, life. And he says, you don't see it, but you feel it. He says, he said, I don't believe that. And I said, all right. I said, well, thank you. Have a good day. And next one was that. Walks down the street, finds a homeless guy with a long beard and long hair. And he takes him into the barbershop and he says, you say there is no such thing as God. I say there is no such thing as barbers. And he says, well, why do you say that? And he said, well, look at this guy. I mean, he didn't have a good, clean cut. It's true, but it's not. And he says, well, it's because he don't come to me. That's why. And he says, exactly. Have you gone to God lately? If you need to go to God, how can you say that you don't believe in God if you don't go to God to begin with?
Okay.
That's a very good analogy. We had a hard time with some of it because you were going in and out, but we got the gist of what you said, and we'll try to rehash that a little bit. That's good.
And give us your name one more time.
Did we lose him?
Caller, get on top of the hill and call us back. Well, we'd love to hear some more from you.
But, you know, that's true, you know, because a lot of people don't believe in God because they don't want to come to God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he made a very a good parallel there. You know, the long-haired man says there ain't no such thing as a barber. Well, there ain't no barber to him because he's never been to a barber.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't believe in God because they don't want to believe in God. They've never gone to God. That didn't change. Just because you haven't gone to a barber and don't know a barber don't mean there ain't no barber.
Right.
And so,
very good analogy. Caller, if you get a chance, you get on top of a hill, give us a call back.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. What is your first name?
Buddy.
Marty. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, what I'm saying, he goes into the barbershop and gets a haircut.
Uh-huh.
And then he tells him, you know, get the haircut. So he tells him, you know, hey, it'll be $12. And he gives him a 20. And he says, keep the change. And he says, thank you. He says, no, God bless you. And he says, there ain't no such thing as God. And then he says, well, come outside. And it was storming. So the wind was blowing, the rain was going. And he says, well, then explain that. God is life. The water is life. The wind is life. And he says, that's how things get pollinated. The water, that's how things grow. And he says, no, I still don't believe you. He says, no, that's fine. And he says, I'll leave you with that. Anyway, have a good day. God bless you. So then he goes halfway down the block and he finds a homeless guy, long hair, beard, and hadn't been groomed. And he says, come here. So he takes him inside the barbershop and he says, you say you don't believe in God. I tell you there's no such thing as barbers. And he says, well, why do you say that? And he said, well, if there was a barber, this guy wouldn't be looking like this. And then he says, well, it's because he don't come to me. And he says, exactly. How can you say you don't believe in God if you do not go to God and seek God? And
well, Marty, that's a great illustration, and because and that parallels right with the passage that was read at the beginning of this program in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, where we are told there that for without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. And so it's not that God is not there, it's that many, many people are not coming to God and looking for the truth that is in God through the Word.
And it's not that God has not given adequate evidence. He has given overwhelming evidence. And the reason people don't believe in God is because they choose not to believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason people believe in evolution as opposed to creation is not because there's not a lot of overwhelming evidence for creation. It's because they choose not to believe in evolution and would rather believe in a lie. They simply will not come to God.
And Tom, there's one more thing here, too. And Marty, I think you'll agree, and the rest of our listening audience will agree as well. Many of our children who have never been exposed to God in the first place, it's not that they want to believe in evolution. It is the only thing that they have ever been taught in their whole lifetime, and so they know nothing else.
Exactly.
And it is our responsibility as God's children and Christians to teach them the alternative and the substitute that our government has given to our children instead of the truth, is God, design, a designer, and a creator.
And one of the things that's going on in our world today, David, is that the higher education, our professors, our scientists, are belittling God, are belittling Bible believers, and saying that it's unscientific, it's impossible for it to happen. You know, and a lot of our kids going into college, taking their philosophy classes and various science classes, they are being browbeaten by the teachers to not mention God. And I've been told story after story after story of young people who have gone to college, and if you even mentioned the Bible or God, it had an adverse effect on your grade.
Yes.
And so we're living in a society, David, where we're allowing higher education to push people away from the truth, and causing people not to be able to believe in anything. That's, again, the only thing they have ever heard. And they've been having it pushed down their throat time and time again. The Bible is just a book full of myths. Science is the truth.
And it's not necessarily that these children want to believe that. It's just they don't have an alternative.
That's all they've
it.
Ever heard.
This is all they have. This is the substitute for truth that is being perpetuated among our children. Now I want to get back to this point that we were making just a moment ago, that 94% of the people in this nation believe in God. However, many do not have a real belief in the Bible as the full, complete, and exact revelation of God. And I want to thank Marty again for calling in with that tremendous analogy that he had there. You know, you got to come to God. You know, you can't just sit there and say, okay, I believe in evolution, God. You zap me over here and let me know what's going on.
Well, David, let me ask a question then. How is it that we can know anything about God? Now, we can know certain things about God by just looking at the creation. We know there has to be some kind of creator, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But how does a person come to understand God, to know what he's all about, to know about those moral standards that we talked about earlier?
Right.
David, we got another caller on the line. Now, caller, give us your first name and your comment or question, please.
Hello. It's me. I got cut off.
Okay, Marty.
Go, Marty.
No, it's not Marty. It's Buddy. It's B-U-D-D-Y. Buddy.
Okay, Buddy.
Buddy,
not,
okay.
Buddy, not Marty. Okay.
Okay, we got it now.
All right, Buddy, what's on your mind now?
It's like what you were saying earlier about Adolf Hitler. You know, if you keep repeating a lie, eventually it becomes true. You know, that's what your mind starts thinking. You know, it's like a little kid. When the little kid starts growing up and you keep telling him that he's dumb and he's retarded, he's going to grow up to believe that he is dumb and retarded because that's all he's ever known.
Exactly.
Now God said over and over many times, my people is the lack of knowledge and understanding. That's the problem.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's gotten in the comfort zone to believe, like you say, evolution. Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, yada yada. The man was created from a monkey, you know, and because they've gotten comfortable to believe that, and you can't change them. That's what, when Christ came, Pontius Pilate, you know, they say he was blaspheming against God because they only knew God at one point. You know, they did not know God. You know, it's like when he goes to say, you know, how can you say, there's scripture, and I keep forgetting it, but, you know, there's scripture in the Bible that says, how can you say that you love me, but yet you hate your brother, then you're a liar, because you do not love me at all. You never knew who I am, because I am love, I am life.
You yep, know? Absolutely.
And that's what, you know, when you teach kids, you know, you teach them one way, you know, it's like a tree. When a tree is growing, if the tree starts growing to the right, you ain't never going to shake them up once it gets old. You know, I mean,
yeah,
that's just life.
Exactly right. You need to guide the children while they're still young and pliable, don't you?
Yeah.
You need to mold the minds of our children while their minds are still soft and pliable.
He said, you teach them when they're young, and this word will never apart from them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
The book of Proverbs.
I'm going to hit another dead spot. I got to let you go, man. Good night, man.
Okay, right, buddy. Thank you for calling. We really appreciate you.
And I appreciate it.
Okay. You keep listening in. We appreciate your call very much. Good call.
You know, good call. Buddy makes a lot of good, you know, good, simple points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be some rocket scientist or have some PhD to understand simple logic.
Right.
And it's what we have here. It's what Buddy has made just plain old, you might just say, country boy arguments. And those are plenty good.
Yes.
To prove that there is a God. To prove that evolution is false. And anybody in their rational mind can understand these things. You know, David, we talk about truth. Tonight we've been talking about truth. The truth of creation. The truth of God. But, David, one of the biggest things that we need to close with tonight is the truth that God sets forth with regard to the salvation of mankind.
Absolutely. And before we get into that, I want to just mention one thing, because I want to give you kind of a teaser for next week. Next week, we're going to really dig into this 94% of the people in the nation believe in God. However, many of them do not believe in the Bible as the full and complete and the exact revelation of God. Now, we are going to give you some evidence on that will help you understand how it would be absolutely impossible for the Bible to be true with all of the evidence that we're going to give you here, how it would be a possibility to put the Bible together without all of the truth of God coming out in it. And we're going to cover this next week.
We have a caller here, David. Let's see if we can get him in here.
Okay.
Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
Hello, caller? Are you on? Yes.
What's your first name?
My name's Sierra,
okay. What's on your mind, Sierra?
We were talking about school and how they were teaching evolution. And I remember in high school, my biology teacher, she was like, okay, now I don't believe this, but it's mandatory by the state that we have to teach it. And so I'm going to teach this, but y'all don't have to believe it. Don't believe it and stuff. So, I thought it was interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, they and actually, Sierra, I do believe that they discourage that kind of disclaimer from the authoritative position of the teacher.
And that does put the teacher between a rock and a hard place a lot of times. And I have known several teachers who are members of the church, who are Christians, who have taught the truth of creation anyway. You know, even though it's frowned upon, even though it may be against the law, well, you know, we must obey God rather than man, right?
That's it. That's it. Very good. Very good comment. Very good comment. Appreciate you calling in, Sierra. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
I just enjoy the show. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate your call very much. Well, Tom, next week we're going to cover the evidence of the Bible being the full, complete, exact revelation of God. We're going to run out of time if we even get into it tonight. But you did mention, we're talking about the truth of creation. We're talking about the truth of God. We're talking about the truth of Jesus Christ, as opposed to what Buddy said, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, and all of the other things, the tooth fairy that he brought up. And we perpetuate these things into the minds of our children, and also falsehood in religion is also perpetuated into the minds of many, many people who do not know the difference because they haven't really picked up the Bible to find out what God's Word has to say about salvation.
Yeah, and they believe simply what someone has told them.
Exactly.
Well, the Bible says, David, that if we want to go to heaven, the first thing that we're going to have to do is believe that He is. You know, John 3, verse 16, probably the most well-known verse in all the Bible, talks about the importance of belief in salvation, having faith. But, you know, that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We're going to talk about the Word of God next week, Romans 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we've got to have belief and faith in God. But, David, none of that's going to do us any good unless we are willing to change our life.
Right.
Changing our life is what?
It's repentance. And a lot of people have a misconception of what repentance is. And a repentance is turning away from doing the unrighteous things of the world to doing those things that are right according to God. Now, Tom, you cannot know what is right according to God unless you open the book, the revealed Word of God. And so the repentance comes from knowledge based upon the truth of God's Word. And this is what we've been talking about all along, the truth. It's going to set you free.
And Luke 13 and verse 3 says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Amen.
And so if you're not willing to repent, you can't go to heaven. But David, also remember that we're going to have to be willing to confess the Christ. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. If we're not willing to confess the Christ, the Bible says He is not willing to confess us. But finally, there's one more step in there, David.
We after that confession that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, we are to be baptized into a watery grave of baptism for a purpose. And it is for the remission, for the forgiveness of our sins. And that step right there puts us right into the Christ. It puts us right into the church. It puts us right into the body of Christ. It puts us right into salvation. These are the terms of salvation, the truth that God has set forth. And these terms are essential and vital if it is that we want to go to heaven.
Exactly right. Now, we've enjoyed ourselves tonight, David. I think we've had a good program, good callers, good comments on our chat room. Tonight, we've been talking about our relationship to God with regard to creation and His relationship to Him. Next week, be sure and turn in and tell your friends about it. We're going to talk about the Bible and its inspiration. Since the Bible talks about God, talks about creation, we need to be able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is the very inspired, inerrant Word of God. We'll talk about that next week. It's been great to have you tonight. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.